have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Magical engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. Oh, we're going to be talking about, you know, if it works, should you use it? Even if science doesn't, you know, doesn't approve, should you? Well, we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to look at the emphysema issue that we didn't get to the other day. And also, we may have time to check your cancer risk. So if you think you're at risk of cancer, we're going to go over that. And we have a quack report. But before we get to that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi, the righteous men and women in uniform. As you know, I'm seeking the Lord's face every day, hitting the knees, asking for righteousness and pleading for truth, like Isaiah 59 says we should. I'm praying for righteous men of valor all over this land. Yes, yes, we need to become one nation under God again, because right now we're not looking like that. So, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, and, you know, pray. Draw near to the Lord. draw near to the Lord, get your salvation. Hey, you know, there's only one way to get it. The Bible tells you how. So open that thing. Read about it. It's very cool. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. I think my duck was jamming out there. All right. What's in the quacker? General Mills is in the quack report tonight. Apparently, there's a massive recall of their gluten-free cereal because it's made with, well, gluten. Apparently, General Mills' decision to, you know, let's make a gluten-free Cheerios. Oh, man, 30% of consumers went, yay, because, you know, they're gluten intolerant. That's like 1.8 million people buying a box of Cheerios or the Honey Nut Cheerios. But according to the company, their California facility, well, they had a little issue in production. And so the gluten-free oat flour was misdelivered somehow, and the procedure got all messed up, and the wheat flour got mixed up. It was a mistake. It was, you know, an issue. It was a situation. You know, the recall includes your Honey Nut Cheerios and your yellow box of Cheerios. Now, you know, the cereal is safe to eat, but if you have celiac disease, you know, gluten intolerance, or you're real sensitive to gluten, is going to give you a problem. There you go. Moving along in the quack report, let's see, this is interesting. Top government scientists say they're not going to have their kids vaccinated. Why is that? That's right. In Albuquerque, the Albuquerque Journal, Los Alamos schools, the top New Mexico schools, there's a bunch of vaccine exemptions in there. I mean, way outside the statistical norm. 2.3% of the kids at the Los Alamos Public School District don't get vaccinated. Their parents received exemptions. You know, that's the kind of a higher percentage. That's pretty much the highest percentage rate of non-vaccination in the entire state of New Mexico. So we're talking about parents pretty much in this area that work at the U.S. Los Alamos Laboratories. And their kids go to the schools there. So people with advanced degrees in science, people who work for government, maybe they know something that the public's not being told about vaccines. You know, a lot of questions to be answered. Why are they opting out of vaccinations for their kids? Well, there's a question you might want to put to your congressman. Last but not least in the quack report, here's something out of a new scientist at the University in Edinburgh have discovered that the level of protein that's in your blood could be an indicator whether you're going to have a life-threatening heart attack. That's right. So a simple blood test, they say, can predict if you are at imminent risk of having a heart attack. So the researchers check your blood sample and usually at the hospital. Now, they tested this with 6,000 people in Scotland, and they followed their progress for a month, and they found that the levels of tryptophan was directly linked to whether the patients would go on to have a heart attack within a 30-day period. So if you have elevated levels of tryptophan, they're saying, you know, within 30 days, you're going to have an episode, a heart attack, and so good to know. And, you know, watch the diet, get that exercise, and you might want to take some cardio-strengthening herbs, you know. Check out thepowerherbs.com, their cardio section. See what I mean? And that wraps the quack report. That's all, folks. Thank you, Frank. Okie dokie, we're going to be talking about if it works, should you use it? Yep. You know, because if science can't explain why natural therapies work, does that mean we should avoid using them? Should we have the position that everything that cannot be scientifically proven be labeled a scam? Now, there seems to be a consensus among scientists relating to the natural therapeutic treatments in which any unexplainable benefit is referred to as a placebo. That's what they call it. So if you have used natural therapies and they've offered you some measurable improvement, science would have you believe that those benefits are just all in your head. So it is the skepticism from the scientific community. Is it justified, do you think? Well, we're going to check it out. Because, you know, some practicality has limits. And most people have the practical approach, and many try natural therapies to see for themselves if it works or not. And millions of Americans use natural therapies and may or may not be swayed by the negative academic research. So when we're dealing with academia, we are supposedly in the realm of research to uncover the working mechanisms responsible for those benefits. So this area of science is very hard on medicinal herbs, while it often turns a blind eye to the failure of the pharmaceutical clinical trials that involve the drugs. Now, quite often in the halls of science, research fails to establish an explanation why a treatment, even in allopathic medicine, why it works. And I want to give you an example, okay? We're going to talk about laughing gas. You ever have some of that? Huh? No? Well, let's talk about it. In the 1700s, a British chemist, Humphrey Davy, was well known for his scientific discoveries. And before becoming a well-known chemist, Davy apprenticed as an apothecary dispensary. He was in the apothecary's dispensary. He apprenticed there, and he performed lots of chemical experiments. Now, he took risks, and some felt that he was a bit reckless. But later on, he used the lab at St. Bartholomew's Hospital, where he experimented with batteries, and then he created that arc light, which was later used in light bulbs. So in 1799, Davy perfected his experiments with nitrous oxide gas. It's also known as laughing gas. And this gas today is used during childbearing and the anesthesiologists give it to mothers that have experienced long labors. So why am I mentioning a 300-year-old chemist? Well, Davy discovered this antiseptic gas hundreds of years ago. And guess what? Science still does not know the mechanism of how it works, but medical doctors use it anyway. Let me read you this quote by Dr. Robert Hahn, professor of University of Linköping, Sweden. He says, "Nobody really understands how nitrous oxide actually works given to women in labor, but it does. And that's what ultimately matters." End of quote. I think so, but scientists, you know, when it comes to herbs, they got to know how it works. Otherwise, it's hokey. It's just, you know, a snake oil. It's hooey. It's just unscientific and it's nonsense. Well, and you know what? The unexplained stuff tends to offend them. You know, sometimes you could get a very frank answer from a scientist. Apparently, when natural therapies work and can't be explained, it offends the scientist's view of how the world functions. So when there is a premise established, it has to be followed. Even when natural therapies clearly produce results, science will not capitulate and it considers the results to be false. Now, scientists call this the type 2 error. So hiding behind the double talk, they can ignore evidence and report to the world that natural therapies don't work, are false, and should be rejected. All right, so but there is this rule of thumb, okay, in scientific research. In scientific studies, researchers look for evidence that there is benefit if the results pull a measurement of 3 times greater than how the placebo performed. So natural therapies very often meet or exceed this measurement. So researchers Stacy Thornhill and Anne-Marie Kelly, they studied natural therapies compared to the conventional drug treatment specifically for allergic rhinitis, and they found that the natural therapies can resolve the problem without side effects or tissue damage. Now, in 2001, the Herb Research Foundation, they tested dozens of herbs for significant benefit for conditions such as the common cold, prostate, and PMS, and they concluded that when herbs are used properly and in the correct doses, the benefits far outweigh the drugs or placebos. And also, in 1997, Dr. Klaus Lind of Munich's Technical University evaluated data from 89 clinical trials involving homeopathic treatments. So in the clinical trial data, it revealed the natural medicines were three times more effective than the placebo or chance. And these results were unacceptable to the medical science community. And Dr. Lin, well, he got some flack. You know, several of his biggest research critics found that when they went back to review the findings, they discovered the same results as Dr. Lin did. Now, you think that's where the story ends. But sadly, these three scientists were outraged that some simple herbs can produce a better outcome than drugs. So what they did is they discarded 90% of the positive studies, reducing the benefit statistic to nearly zero, and this manipulation of the data wound up in the final analysis for publication in The Lancet in 1997. So if scientists can't be unbiased in their research, you won't get the truth about any therapy. And unfortunately, bad science can work its way into print, into media and legislation, and corrupt health therapies all the way around. But I want to point out some differences real quick. One thing to consider is that homeopathic and herbal medicines are natural therapies, but they have significant differences. Homeopathic products are a distilled version of the herb where the herb is heated and the essence of the herb is used. So artificial heat will always diminish the medicinal power of the herbs. Now, it doesn't mean homeopathic products don't work. It just means that you may need to use more of it to get results. Another important fact is how the control group studies comparing herbs with placebos, how this is managed. So often in these clinical research trials, the wrong part of the herb is tested, which has little medicinal value. And in other instances, the herb tested is not in its original phytochemical form, and isolated elements of the herb are removed. So testing a part of the chemical makeup of the herb will alter the natural action, whether used in animals or humans. Therefore, the quality of the research trial can influence the outcome. So in Dr. Lin's case, he analyzed at least 10 studies with top-quality trial techniques, and they revealed that herbal medicine shows to have significant benefits over the control group. So if you hear studies stating that herbs like saw palmetto or milk thistle are ineffective for prostate or liver issues, be certain to investigate the research carefully. So there is convincing empirical history from the ancient civilizations, 300-year-old sea captain journals, to 20th century hospitals, which document a different scenario. So what ultimately matters is if you are using herbal medicines and have some guidance while using the herbs, you're going to have a better outcome. So those experienced in using herbs will know that people have different thresholds, and depending on the problem, more or less of the herb is needed. So it will be much easier to adjust doses on herbal tinctures or liquids than it does for capsules or tablets. So your tinctures are also going to offer more concentrated power and a longer shelf life on the herb itself. And remember, science will excuse its own discoveries, such as the nitrous oxide laughing gas, and say they work, but in another story comes up when it's a natural herb. If they can't explain it, it doesn't work. So if you'd like to learn more about herbs and how you can strengthen things like your immune system and cleanse away toxins, be empowered, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They not only make a great product, but they also provide you with tons of information and product support. So they're interested in your success. So the toll-free number, if you want a free product catalog or to order, is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. They do have a website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. You can get there typing in herbtalklive.com as well. And if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. Get a free product catalog. And if you're on their website, don't forget to check out their free online newsletters that go out each week, and that'll be empowering information in itself. So definitely check that out and be empowered. Okay, we got a few minutes before we have a bottom of the hour break, so we're going to jump right on in there to this emphysema, COPD thing. A lot of ads on the TV for drugs for that. So let's check this out. There's like 2 million Americans that have emphysema. That's one in 136 people. You know, it may start out with, you know, a little bronchitis, becomes a bit chronic. And then asthma, you know, maybe it creates a health problem. 4.2% of the population has asthma. Countries that really dwarf the U.S. with emphysema cases is China and India, probably because of their air quality, though. So does emphysema happen overnight? Well, emphysema is not something that you typically could get overnight. Can it lead to lung cancer? Can these types of lung conditions be reversed with maybe lifestyle changes or some super nutrition? Well, we're going to check it out. What is happening to the body when you hear a diagnosis of emphysema? Well, the body is reacting to a long-term progressive disease that has not been addressed. So the tissues that are designed to support the shape and function of the lung is in the process of being destroyed. So modern medicine classifies this as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. So when you see those commercials when they're talking about COPD, they have emphysema, chronic bronchitis, things of that nature. So this is a lung disease which obstructs the lungs by destroying tissue around the little sacs of the lung tissue, and which can't hold their shape when the person is exhaling. So this condition is almost always the result of tobacco use. Now let's look at the Greeks and the Egyptians. Who discovered emphysema? Well, this is a condition as old as smoking, really. As long as cigars and pipes have been in use, there have been pulmonary diseases. So the name description means swelling and inability to breathe, and it comes from the Greek word emphysemion, meaning inflate or to breathe. So the damage to the lung tissue is more common in the lower lobes of the lung. Now, in the 17th century, emphysema caught the attention of the public. An English physician, Sir John Fourier, in, 1721, Dr. Fourier educated the public on the progressive nature of emphysema, and that smoking, breathing in fumes, atmosphere irritants can cause a condition like this. And he advised people to avoid the irritants as much as possible. So it's not just smoking, but in a majority of the time, that's what causes it. What are some of the risks? Well, people who smoke, obviously, are 15 times more likely to get emphysema. People who work in industries like coal mines or where there's dust like sawmills are also prone to the condition. There are rare cases where the elderly develop emphysema and are not smokers. Emphysema is a lung disease which tends to be irreversible according to medical doctors, according to the Lung Association and the Asthma Foundation. But instead, patients are given then medications just to control their symptoms, and they're told not to smoke, not to breathe those fumes, and so on. So emphysema can also adversely affect your heart and contribute to lung cancer, though. And also, I would think, you know, this whole thing just depend on your industry you work in. You know, if you're a welder, be really strict about, you know, your breathing apparatus and ventilation. You know, you just don't want to risk it. Now, there is this case history. One of my herb professors helped a famous actor who was diagnosed with, you know, his allopathic physicians as having emphysema, chronic bronchitis, and asthma. And one doctor told him he had all three of the conditions, and on this unfortunate actor was unable to talk loud enough that his voice could be picked up on recordings. He wasn't able to walk across the sound stage, and because he'd be out of breath. His condition quickly deteriorated, then he became bedridden. He had been a heavy smoker, 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes a day. His family tree had plenty of relatives that smoked, plus they had people with lung cancer in his family. So the first thing he was told to do was quit smoking. Not hard at this point, since you feel like you're trying to breathe through a straw. So his lungs at this stage were extremely inflamed and coated with mucus, which made him cough with each breath he took. So the next step was to stop all the solid foods and do juice vegetables and fruits and just have juice therapy. He consumed no dairy, no sugar, and this immediately brought back his breathing, and he was able to breathe less labored. Big difference right there. The body's telling you you're on the right track. So he used herbs to improve his pulmonary, like lobelia. It helps to dilate the bronchial, and if you have mucus, sticky mucus in there, coating the whole lung area, it's easy to dislodge that mucus and cough it up. So he was detoxifying his lung with the herb called lobelia. And he stopped his bad habits that made him sick. And so he supercharged his system, basically, with the herbal nutrition, fruit and vegetable nutrition, and then he did some toxin removal to help the body repair the damage. See, modern medicine doesn't know how to do this. So what science doesn't tell you is that when you make changes, these kinds of self-help changes, and stop abusing the lungs, the white blood cells devour the goopy tar and help repair the scar tissue. And you can address emphysema by following the same therapies for things like lung cancer. And you might want to add in some dandelion root, you know, if there's a cancer issue. But the research all points to diet, which are usually devoid of fruits and vegetables, that increase the risk of pulmonary diseases. So carcinogens in tobacco, they're more potent to those individuals who are on poor diets. And that research was by Dr. Tim Byers of the CDC and Dr. Block of the National Cancer Institute. So lung cancer, most highly influenced cancer by diet alone. Wow. You know, basically you don't want to expose yourself to all those particles, tobacco, irritants as well. So your body will need to, you know, have live enzymes, nutrition in these foods and in these herbs to help the body repair. So that's the other piece of the puzzle, okay? So this is what, you know, physicians, medical doctors, they miss the boat on all this. And I see we got to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the foods you want to look for that help the lungs out. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Wow, the beetle. All right, let's look at some of these foods, like I promised, that are going to help your lungs out, especially if you're prone to these lung conditions like asthma, COPD, emphysema, chronic bronchitis. It's usually you're lacking something in the diet a lot of times. And so you want to look for more yellow, orange, and, of course, your green chlorophyll fruits and vegetables, and you want to pile those into the diet. So the foods that seem to have a little more protection are the foods with the orange pigment to them. And these foods will also contain a lot of beta-carotene. So you want to look for those deep orange colors, the deep green chlorophyll foods. And science really isn't quite sure why beta-carotene and the chlorophyll foods are typically working like antidotes for pulmonary disease and lung cancer. They're just not sure. So in 1983, Dr. Menkes of the Johns Hopkins University discovered that a majority of the lung cancer patients had low levels of beta-carotene. Further research showed that the patients with the lowest beta-carotene levels had twice the lung cancer rate. So British researchers at the Empirical Cancer Research Fund also report that eating a carrot a day made a big anti-cancer difference. So Dr. Regina Ziegler of the National Cancer Institute reported that if you eat a half a cup of beta-carotene-rich or deep green vegetables each day, it made the difference between low and high risk among smokers and ex-smokers, you know, cancer risk. So essentially, the research is suggesting that we can obtain some sort of cancer protective dose from carrots, eating them daily. However, since each individual is a little different, that anti-cancer impact from your food can vary. So it may take 2 to 4 carrots a day for some individuals to receive that same protection that another person can get with just 1 or 2 carrots a day. So keep that in mind. Now, the University of Alabama discovered the power of folic acid in green vegetables to fight cancer. So lung cancer patients have lower levels of vitamin B, which can weaken the cells, making them more vulnerable to having tumors. Now, folic acid, vitamin B, is found in high concentrations in these foods: spinach, collards, turnips, beet greens, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts. So dried beans also contain folic acid, and the University of Hawaii studied various vegetables and found tomatoes also cut the risk of lung cancer like the beta-carotene-rich foods. They say the tomatoes cut the risk of lung cancer by, 7-fold in women and 3-fold in men. So this seems to do better than the beta-carotene, which can cut the risk of cancer 3-fold in women and 2-fold in men as well. So it's the lycopene, they think, that's in the tomato that has that anti-cancer element to it. So where do you go from here? Well, you want to adjust that lifestyle, make some changes, because you didn't get sick all by yourself. You know, you had some help, and it was probably from the lifestyle. So make those changes, and you might want to do some organ cleansing to remove the toxins, because when the body fights cancer, it does create a lot of debris, and you want the filtering organs to be clean and strong in order to carry off that debris and detoxify your system so that the regenerative process and the repair building of the new tissue can take place. So if you're looking for your folic acid-rich foods and you're just not a big fresh, you know, raw food vegetable eater, perhaps you can use vegetable or citrus juice and dump some body food mix in there. That'll cover your vitamins, your minerals, amino acids, plant proteins. It has chlorophyll in there. So, you know, you can take care of a lot of nutritional needs with that one scoop in your juice at breakfast. So you can check that out. The body food mix the folks at Apothecary Herbs make. They also have a product if you're trying to quit smoking. They have an herb that acts like nicotine, but it's really lobelin in the herb itself, and it fools the body that you had nicotine so that it gets rid of your craving to smoke. So it's a very non-toxic, gentle way to work towards becoming smoke-free. And so it's called Smoker's Helper, so you can check that out. And, of course, they do have pneumonia kits. They have things that'll boost the immune system if you tend to get sick with chronic bronchitis. They have things there, as well as the dandelion root, which the Windsor Medical University folks in Quebec, Canada, discovered in 2012, has something in it. They're really not sure what it is, but it makes all known forms of cancer. All known cancer cells commit suicide, but leaves healthy cells alone. So that's a big, big help for those that are worried about cancer or have cancer and they're fighting it with natural means. So you can check that out. The Windsor Medical folks, Windsor Medical University, Dr. Carolyn Hamm and Marion Pandy were the ones that discovered that. And you can find that research online. Or you can just ask the folks at Apothecary Herbs to send you information on the dandelion root. And give them a call, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. A lot of people say, well, how much is the dandelion? Well, I mean, if you get the big bottle, it's like $60. But they do have the smaller sizes if you want to check those out. All right. Let's talk about, since we're on the cancer topic, let's check your cancer risk. Cancer disease becoming pretty commonplace, but it's still scary. Cancer is global, and it does send shivers down the backbone of anybody that's told they have cancer. And by the way, get second and third opinions, because now we're having medical experts lie to patients just to sell them treatment. So be real careful there. So the U.S. statistics indicate that 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women get cancer at some point in their lives. And according to the American Cancer Society, which prides itself on their role of informing people about cancer and its causes, offers 6 major categories for cancer risk. Now, apparently, the other services to humanity that the American Cancer Society offer is that they conduct epidemiological research on causes of cancer, they fund university labs for research, and they assist environmentalists by advocating a healthy environment for state and federal levels to comply with. So we're going to find out what information may be missing in this picture that will assist everyone out there if they're educating themselves on their cancer risk. So let's look at these 6 categories that the American Cancer Society has mentioned. Genetics, which they say is rare, but, you know, the public is taught otherwise. It's rare that your genetics cause cancer, by the way. Tobacco is in there, your lifestyle, your diet and activity, sun exposure, radiation, like your mammogram, and other is the other category, which, you know, they lump all environmental in there. So if you press further, you can actually discover that the American Cancer Society admits that they do not keep any detailed information on any cancer exposure risks. So if you were hoping that they would provide you with additional information on the 6 categories, you may be out of luck, for real. Well, let's look at the prescription and cancer risk. The American Cancer Society does list a brief list of medical treatments that can cause cancer, such as chemotherapy, radiation, and immune system suppression medication. So these are treatments patients pay for to treat various maladies or illnesses and perhaps even cancer. So the last thing patients want is to get cancer. They do mention substances that can change your DNA and could cause carcinogens, so your genetically modified foods, your vaccines would fall into that 7th category, but they don't want to list that. So the corporations making these products do not conduct cancer studies. Well, there is this list. In 2004, the federal government released their list of cancer-causing carcinogens, and the report was titled Report on Carcinogens. This report is published every 2 years by the National Institutes of Environmental Health Sciences, and the report includes known or reasonably anticipated causes for cancer. So their list contains 246 cancer-causing agents. And also, for the first time, they listed viruses like your hepatitis B and C and papilloma, human viruses. I'm sure there's something in that flu shot, too. So they also included, for the first time, x-rays, lead compounds, grilled meat, somebody that eats off the barbecue all the time, textile dyes is on the list, as well as paint and ink. So can be carcinogenic risks right there for you. So let's look at some of these other government and healthcare reports that they say cancer is important, or the importance of cancer. And when they word it like that, I have to say, what do they mean exactly when they say cancer is important, or the importance of cancer? What do they mean when they word it like that? It's kind of funky and weird. So I have to wonder if what they really are trying to say is how financially important a disease like cancer is to the medical community. Is it sort of like saying abortion doctor The meaning associated with abortion is death, and the meaning associated with doctor is wellness. Those two don't go together. So do you think that agencies would spend $6 billion a year on advertising campaigns associated with cancer disease if they were not important financially? Think about it. So it must be more important than $6 billion, you know? Who's going to spend $6 billion and not recoup at least $12 billion? On just breast cancer, U.S. taxpayers pay $780 million a year on treatments. That's pretty lucrative, wouldn't you say? Just on breast cancer now. So to know exactly how much is raised for cancer cures is kind of hard to say, but it's estimated to be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. So $6 billion is a drop in the bucket, right? So yes, cancer is important, but maybe not the kind of important a cancer patient thinks it is, at least to the medical community. Well, let's look at, maybe we need a detective. Maybe we should hire Sherlock Holmes to dig into this, kind of blow the lid off of the cancer scandal of the century, perhaps. So it came close, actually, though, in 1988, a professor of economics at George Mason University, his name was James Bennett, he checked out the charitable organizations known as the American Cancer Society. And according to the professor, the American Cancer Society held a fund balance of over, now this is in, what, 88? This is 1988. Back in 88, they had a balance of over $400 million, with approximately $69 million tied up in land, buildings, and equipment. Now, the American Cancer Society spent only $90 million, that's 26% of its budget, on operating expenses, medical research, and other programs. The rest, which was $240 million, or 60% of its budget, went to generous salaries, pensions, and executive benefits, as well as some overhead. So the next year, according to Mr. Bennett, the next year the holdings were $700 million, and American donations contributed 6%, $350 million, to their bottom line to help fight cancer. So other donations came from large corporations, pharmaceutical companies, cancer drugs, telecommunications, and entertainment industries. So who's on the board of the American Cancer Society? Heads of companies, such as laboratories owned by pharmaceutical companies, biotech companies, entertainment industry, sensors are on there, Boeing, goodness, Viacom, that's a telecommunication company, and a department store chain billionaire is on the board. So the American Cancer Society is one of the world's wealthiest nonprofit institutions. So yes, cancer is important and will remain that way because money answers all things, right? Remember that the next time that you're asked to sponsor the Walk for the Cure or to schedule your routine mammogram, which has now been determined by some medical research institutes that the prostate studies for the guys, the PSA, and the mammograms really not very beneficial at preventing cancer and could actually put you at a greater risk of cancer. Well, let's look at, I know there's a drug list here. I want to look at the drug list. According to the folks at the People's Pharmacy, there are several prescription medications that are known to cause cancer in lab animals. So you got to remember, lab rats are used, or ferrets are used, because their metabolism is most similar to humans. So here's the list of the FDA, because a lot of these drugs don't require cancer testing for these drugs. and FDA is not requiring any warning on their labels, okay? So your hormone replacement therapy medications used for menopause offers a high risk of breast and uterine cancer. You've heard that. Heartburn medication, your Prilosec, causes abnormal cell growth and stomach tumors. Blood pressure drugs prescribed for hormonal imbalance and facial hair growth in women causes tumors in rats. Dermatitis, eczema, topical prescriptions are associated with lymphoma of the skin. It's a cancer. Cholesterol drugs reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association that fibrate and statin drugs cause cancer in rats. Cholesterol drug Vicodin cause cancer in test subjects. That was reported in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2008. Statin drugs for cholesterol offer breast cancer risk as high as 143% in women. The journal called Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention, 2013. And for men, it offered an elevated risk of prostate cancer, and that was listed in the Journal of Prostate. So the longer that you're on a drug like that, the higher your risk is, according to chemist Shane Ellison. Now, Gardasil, the HP vaccine, the papilloma, is under scrutiny. Dr. Christine Fiala, general practitioner at Vienna, Austria, says the vaccine does not prevent cancer and is not safe. A recent report from Australia indicated the vaccine can cause premenopause and destroy ovaries 3 years post-vaccination. Other cervical abnormalities, included cancer, are showing up in 4 to 5 years after the vaccine. So to be aware of that. Also, vaccines are on the list. Hepatitis are in question as well, the hepatitis vaccines. As well as your genetically modified vaccines. They cause in DNA modification, offering cancer an invitation to thrive. So be aware of that. So if you thought maybe smoking and excessive sun exposure were your major risk factors for cancer, you can see that that's just the tip of the iceberg. So you're going to have to investigate pretty much everything that you use or expose to if you don't want to increase your cancer risk. So when we detox ourselves, that's going to help us out, because when we get rid of the toxins in the body, it allows the burden to be lifted off organs and for regeneration to commence. So detoxing the body is really more important than any time ever before for our generation. Now, our ancient ancestors didn't have this kind of level of toxicity that we have today. And they didn't have to do much except for maybe a fast every once in a while. Unfortunately, with all the vaccines, the antibiotics, the smart meters, the genetically modified food, we got a lot to protect our bodies from. So we don't want our bodies to become cancer incubators, see? So you have, if you're thinking that you've been thinking about detoxing, but you just didn't know how to start or where to begin, or, you know, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They show you there's a very specific way to safely go about detoxing. If you're not sure about it, if you pick up one of their catalogs, it'll show you the proper order. They list all the cleanses in the proper order. But more importantly, if you have access to their website, thepowerherbs.com, you can go to the Healthy Guidelines tab, click on that, and then you'll have selected links there. You can learn about cleansing, how to store your herbs, your immune boosting, and it's very concise and it's short. It's not pages and gobs of reading. So it's just going to hit the highlights so you get an idea of what is entailed. So just to cut to the chase, you want to cleanse your body in the opposite way of how your body removes toxins. And this avoids a backlash or reabsorption of toxins if you have too many toxins free-flowing out of the body. And if you have a reabsorption of toxins you're trying to eliminate, you could have a healing crisis on your hand. You feel really worse than when you started. So we want to avoid that. So it's important to cleanse and be successful. So if the body cleanses toxins from the blood to the liver to eliminate through the bowel and urinary, that means you want to open up the bowel and urinary areas of evacuation first so that you have a free flow out. So the bowel cleanse is the first one you do. Then you move to the urinary tract. Then you can cleanse the liver and the gallbladder, and your blood system will always be last. So that's the five major areas of cleansing, which will make a huge difference just about in anybody's life because these organs need to be taken care of. If you're going to change the oil in your car, if you're going to inspect your furnace each year before you turn it on, hey, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you get checked out too. And I'm not talking about running to the allopathic doctor because all they have is surgery and toxic chemicals. So if you've been on any kind of medication, you can cleanse away 2,000 pharmaceutical residues just with the bowel cleanse. You can get rid of the heavy metals and the radioactive particles. Everybody goes, I don't have any radioactive particles. And I said, yes, you do. Have you been to the dentist? Have you been to the airport lately? You've been exposed to radiation. If you have a smart meter on your home, hello, you've been exposed. And cell phones, computers, I mean, it's just everywhere. So it's a good idea to periodically get that stuff out of there and give your body, you know, a vacation for sure. And you can do that. And it's empowering. I mean, you can do what white coats can't. See? It's just amazing how simple and basic and just very cool God did this. You know, herbs are here for the service of man. They're here for the healing of the nations. Herbs are meat because they're powerful. Oh, that's true. That is so true. So there's a difference between nutritional and medicinal. Okay? Your medicinals are usually going to be bitter, sometimes hot. And the reason is you only use a little bit because they're really strong. And bitter herbs move fluids, okay? So they'll move bitter and hot herbs will move blood. They'll move bile. They'll move mucus, okay? Lymphatic system will move, very important. So it's important to learn these things for your own self-protection because ultimately our health is our own responsibility. If you want to pass that off to a white coat, you know, you're just going to get poked and prodded and stuck and stabbed and analyzed. And in the end, what are they going to offer you? Well, they're going to offer you drugs for life to manage your symptoms. Or they're going to offer you surgery. Because, I'm sorry to say, those things are profitable. Healing you's not. Right? So you got to do that yourself. And the herbs are going to be powerful allies for you. So I'd pick up the phone, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call, get a free product catalog. It's an educational product in itself, okay? And you can always call and ask and email questions. If you want to email, you can call. And they have product support. They answer your questions, and they help you figure things out. Of course, they don't diagnose. They don't prescribe anything. They just tell you what they would do if they were you. That toll-free number is 866-229-3663. Probably the best call you'll ever make. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 704-885-0277. Or visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. I hear the music. I have to run, but I'll be back. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.